I'm Stephanie Overbuck.
I'm Mel Wymore.
And this is Pot of Gold.
Time spent online can sometimes feel like an escape from reality. That's especially true for the approximate 2.69 billion online gamers around the world. But time spent playing in the digital universe doesn't come without its cost for the physical one.
In this episode, we're speaking with Kayla Anderson, a gamer, streamer, and online content creator, about the impacts that our online activities are having on climate. With her project, Climate Replay, Kayla is on a mission to transform the gaming community into a force for climate action.
Here's Kayla.
Hi, so I'm Kayla Anderson. I'm also known as Bayla on Twitch and throughout my various social media platforms. Primarily right now, I'm focusing on TikTok since it's a lot less demanding when I have to do a day job and I also do climate creation. And thank you so much for having me on the podcast and reaching out. I'm really excited to chat with y'all.
Thank you, Kayla. On your website, it's the first thing you say is that you're out there organizing the gaming, online gaming community to think more about climate change. Maybe you could tell us a little bit what that entails and what's the response been so far?
Yeah, so the gaming community is massive. And since I started my environmental communications on Twitch, which the funny story about that, I'll have to provide just a little bit of context to understand why gaming, because you wouldn't necessarily associate the gaming community with climate. But in college around 2018, so junior year of college, I started to live stream League of Legends on Twitch just for fun, got tired of my retail job and was like, you know what? I have the art skills. I'm just going to be a streamer and I'll go and somehow find a way to make this work. But as everyone knows, once you hit your junior year of college, that's when you start really getting into the important classes for your degree. And me being in East Asian Studies and Environmental Science, it got really deep really quickly. And I realized that playing and talking about League of Legends was not as important as explaining all the important things I was learning in these classes. So I did the full 180 pivot from I'm a League of Legends streamer to now I'm an environmental politics streamer. And my community loved it. They were asking questions. And I realized that a lot of people in that space are really wanting to learn, but they just have never had people in that realm willing to talk about it, because there's always kind of the whole stigma that you'll see with some communities of, I just play Fortnite. I'm not going to go and talk on things. But at the end of the day, climate impacts everyone. And so even if you're a Fortnite gamer, you can still go and talk about climate. And so with Climate Replay, the idea of it is that we are mobilizing the gaming community to educate them about climate issues. And with having that knowledge, they can go and really push for the gaming industry to be more sustainable. And the beautiful thing about the gaming community, especially gamers on Twitch, is there's always been a culture of charity and just giving and supporting good causes. Like every single year, St. Jude does their thing called St. Jude Play Live, which is where a massive, I think it's about like a month long streaming event where streamers can get involved and raise money to help children in St. Jude. And when the Australian wildfire season happened a couple of years ago, a bunch of Twitch streamers got involved, like Paladin Amber, she's in Australia, and we're just doing fundraisers to go and raise money to help people affected by the Australian wildfires. So the drive and desire to help people is there in the gaming community. And Climate Replay, we're here like, all right, climate's really big. Here's all this information. We believe in you. Let's go and change the gaming industry since it touches everything. Like, yeah, Blizzard, Activision, Riot, Tencent owns so many things. And you have the conversation on servers and making those green. Like, there's so many climate technicalities that could be implemented that would make a great impact. So that's what we're trying to do.
So I have two questions right off the bat. And maybe you could map out the gaming community for our listeners that don't participate on Twitch or are gamers. Like, you're a League of Legends. How many people are in that community?
Oh, lordy. Well, League of Legends is one of the biggest esports games in the world. So if we're talking monthly active players, League of Legends. Let's see if I can get a data point without needing to go on a Google rabbit hunt. There are 180 million monthly active players that just play League of Legends. And that was the most recent data point on February 6th.
So you're talking about millions and millions of young people playing these games. And when you talk about the sustainability of the gaming industry, could you, well, there's probably more than just trying to make that industry sustainable with your message. It's really making your life sustainable, so to speak. But can you give us a more of a detail about what is the unsustainable aspect of the gaming industry and, you know, kind of what you said, you mentioned servers. There must be millions and millions of servers. So what is their impact on the planet?
Yeah, so the server is the hardware for it. So servers require energy to run, and the energy grid is not renewable to any degree that anyone in the world would say is acceptable right now. And so by implementing a renewable grid, then you have servers running on renewable energy, and then you have online games. So say if Minecraft, which is owned now by Microsoft. So if Microsoft had all their servers running on renewable energy, then you could claim that Minecraft is a sustainable game because it's running on 100% renewables. The game servers are not putting anything, like no emissions, out into the atmosphere to contribute to climate change. Another aspect is if we're talking about hard, like copy games, if not just a digital version of a game, then you're looking at packaging, because there's so much plastic waste in just everything. And so reducing the amount of plastic used in game packaging would be wonderful. And then there's also another aspect too that just popped into my head talking on the servers, is even if the game server is renewable, we also need to acknowledge that our home electricity on playing those game, you want to also have a renewable grid. So when I'm here on my computer playing on the renewable server on Minecraft, I want to make sure that my computer is also on renewable energy, because then it's just all clean, like guilt-free, climate-friendly gaming, which would be amazing. And so at the end of the day, I think the top two things are making the grid renewable, because that affects not just the gaming industry, but it affects your personal energy consumption, also impacts the energy use on these games. And then also packaging, because you walk into a gaming store like GameStop, or I mean, even Target, like Walmart, anywhere the video games are sold. And it's just a big box of plastic for a tiny game card for your DS. And I've always have questioned that, like, why do you need, the artwork is super pretty. I love it. I love that it's on display, but does it really need to be in a giant box?
That's all advertising, right? It's basically creating advertising space for that game. You know, whenever you speak about these large communities and these games, the first thing that pops into my mind is the metaverse. And where is that going? Like, these game people are not just going to be playing these games, but that's going to, from what I can read and tell, that's going to become our lives, you know, living out online, basically. So the movement has so much potential to cast a future that is renewable, because so we're going to be living more and more online, as we have been during the pandemic, right? Zoom itself is pretty unsustainable, I imagine. I don't know.
We'd have to do some Googling on the servers for Zoom.
Do some Googling.
Well, it can't be as bad as going places, you know, like, you know, flying back to from Europe to New York for an interview or something, you know. It's, I mean, that, or using the sailing boat, equally senseless in a way. You talk about these really huge communities, right, of gaming, and it's a huge amount of time. Yeah, gamers actually spend online. And I actually just Googled that a couple of weeks ago, and we have quite an increase with the pandemic of hours spent online. I think it was the average of like eight hours. And I was like, wow, that's... So there's, I think it was 8 hours or something, which I think is an amazing amount of hours you actually spend online. And I think a lot of gamers, as far as I know, I have a couple of friends who love video games, and they completely disconnect. And I think the reason to go into the gaming world is to basically disconnect from reality. It's almost like, you know, it's not watching television. It's like, you know, more active in this other world, which is great, I think, for a couple of hours. I'm not quite sure. I'm not arguing the hours now. But I was wondering if one could, you know, use these hours, not just, of course, we should connect for donations and, you know, plastics and all of that. It's kind of a no-brainer. But isn't there something we can learn in these hours to maybe more collaborate? Or do you want to actually have in your disconnecting hours to engage again and with climate change? I think this is partly why you're going there in the first place. What's your experience?
Well, so far, I have yet to see in major games. So like League of Legends, for example, it's a... I would be starting to use gamer terms. So it's an elaborate game of capture the flag. So League of Legends is. And with that, there's no context for climate to necessarily fit in there unless they developed a special map where, say, the river that runs through the middle of the map starts flooding. Like there's like an event in the middle of your game where like the river would start flooding or something like that. And games where it's a bit more, arguably you could say it's fast paced because it's not like an open world exploring like Skyrim, for example. It's anywhere between 15 to some like 45 minutes for a match. And then you go back in and then you're doing the same thing. Different characters, different people and all of that. But the premise of the game is relatively the same in each match that you're playing. So I could see something, or if they had a special kind of educational map they could play on, or they wouldn't even need to call it maybe an education thing. It's just here's a special map that will have climate impacts with every dragon that you take. And instead of just kind of changing the map color, something you could flood the river, you can go and they actually already do a thing where if you capture, I believe it was the fire dragon, then a bunch of the rocks in the jungle part of the map disappear and it changes the landscape of the map. So stuff like that is absolutely possible. If we're talking in more open world things like kind of like Skyrim, Minecraft, you could absolutely go and just drop climate stuff in there without like zero question. If you had say a Skyrim mod, mod being modification that someone could develop that was like, oh, new climate mod where every now and again, you're going to have wildfires and you're going to have cyclones and all of these things. And you as your character have to figure this out. So there are ways to go and put real world examples and dropping them into video games. And we actually saw this with Sid Meier's Civilization. So Sid Meier's Civilization is a turn-based, it's a pretty long game. It's one of those games where if you want to kind of just check out for several hours, this is the game you play. And I love this game. It's amazing. I have put a stupid amount of hours into Sid Meier's Civilization 5. And I almost didn't get the sixth game because the art style was just a little bit weird and they changed a few aspects of the game. I'm like, I'm not a fan. But they came out with a disaster DLC content where there's cyclones, there's flooding and volcanoes and drought and floods. And once I saw that, it was like, I need to play this and take my money because this is amazing. And then there are actual games that are dedicated to climate things. You have Eco, which is the concept of Eco is you have 30 days to go and save the planet from an asteroid that's going to hit the world that you spawned on. But you can also destroy the planet before the asteroid gets there if you build all of your stuff unsustainably. And so you're dealing with how do I impact this world without causing rapid onset devastating climate change while also trying to build the technology to not die from the asteroid that's going to destroy my world in 30 days. So
that's so interesting. And was it when you're playing, are you playing as only an individual or is there a collaborative component where you can work together to solve these problems as they come up?
Yeah, in Ego, you can do multiplayer servers. And so you can play on your own or you can play with your friends. Same with Civilization, there's multiplayer mode. And if they also have the DLC, or it might be only one person needs the DLC, I don't remember exactly, but so you could play Civilization 6 with the Disaster DLC and you can play together with people.
DLC is?
Downloadable content.
Okay.
Yeah.
It is a whole world. And you know, the people that are largely playing these games are, I assume, under 30, under 40?
Off my gut reaction would be yes. But there are also people that are like 30 plus that are in the gaming world as well. I mean, I'm not that knowledgeable in the age range of it, but so I'm not sure if I can like properly comment on that actually.
And do you have any knowledge about the gender breakdown in those communities?
Well, League of Legends is definitely male dominated. As the gaming industry as a whole is male dominated, it has been for a while. That has been a huge stigma even for female streamers or female presenting streamers or gamers in the industry. And that's like a whole thing I could get into if you want me to, on like women in the gaming space.
But do you think if more women were involved in games, we'd see more environmentalism or we'd see more kind of social action happening in those communities?
I think if we had more representation across the board, then we would have better representation of views and concerns and empathy and understanding, which would transform the gaming community to be more inclusive. And so just by being more inclusive, it's easier to have these types of conversations, whether it's about LGBTQIA plus rights, whether it's about climate change, or if it's about Black Lives Matter, if it's about all of these social problems that, funnily enough, all intersect within the climate crisis, because the climate emergency is absolutely intersectional. The more representation we have, the easier it is to have these discussions, to bring it into communities, and just create a cozier space that isn't aggressive, might be the word I'm looking for, that isn't aggressive against those conversations.
Yeah, I see it really as fundamental, not, you know, to, how can I say? There's something like about the gaming industry, it's all basic code, yeah, and it's kind of inscripted in code, what you can do and what you cannot do. And as you said, you know, it's not just about one issue, right? The environment, climate change, and the gaming, like the overlap with gaming. And I wonder how to advance this. And obviously the guys, mainly, I suppose, mainly guys who code the digital environment. So if we had a change there, making it more inclusive, it would absolutely transform the digital environment. I mean, I kind of see with Metaverse, you know, it's like it's, whoever doesn't know what Metaverse, I can't explain it all. But how at the moment we are basically building up Metaverse is exactly a cookie cutting system as from all the kind of crap we have been seeing in our real world. You know, what doesn't work in the real world kind of, I mean, I'm saying it now, as I see it, is now being presented in Metaverse. And it's like, ooh, what could we not just shift it and create an all-inclusive world and maybe more nature-orientated world? All the stuff we missed building up, especially in our modern Western society. Why don't we start to incorporate into the Metaverse or into the games, you know, and start to like feel an experience, and that's the beauty about games. You can like experience a different kind of reality. And so what's your view or maybe your experience on this?
Yeah, no, I think my answer would be the same. Like this, the more inclusive and diverse the gaming industry can be, then we will see that represented in games and coding and the opportunity to showcase those types of discussions and discourse in ways that just become more natural. And that would be wonderful. Like now that I'm thinking, like just since I play an unfortunate amount of time, or I put an unfortunate amount of time every day into League of Legends once I finish my work for the day. So the League of Legends will, of course, be top of mind, and I play it with my partner. We're currently, he's almost to platinum. And so there's a ranked thing where you can go up the ranks, and he's almost to platinum and I'm almost to gold, and we duo, so we play together. And that's just been top of mind. Like, I'm going to get to gold. Like, I'm going to do it. And it's going to be awesome. But like, it would be so fun if Riot were to go and just throw some climate effects into the game. And maybe they don't even need to make a big statement about it. I'm sure a lot of people would just acknowledge that. Like, oh crap, the jungle's on fire because there was like, we got this dragon that was like the drought dragon, and now all this is happening. Like, it would be really interesting and awesome to see things like that take place in popular games, or even with Fortnite, how we saw where they were doing the digital concerts. You had like Marshmallow and Ariana Grande, and they had these big virtual like world concerts. Totally could implement some form of climate or environmental discourse, maps, and interactions in a game like that, since they're already building out effectively the metaverse and interactions virtually that aren't necessarily just first person shooter like gameplay.
So let's come back to your personal motivation to go into the gaming industry and climate curation, I think you called it in the beginning.
Yes.
Why do you care about climate change or climate curation?
Oh boy. So I grew up in a beach town in Southern California. And so being in Southern California, you are constantly raised with, we are in a drought, save water. And that's kind of the number one thing. California is perpetually in a drought. And although I distinctly remember in middle school, the summers were not nearly as hot as they were just last year when I went to go and visit my family. And that is a very harrowing realization. But back to my childhood. So I grew up along the ocean. I surfed a lot. I could walk to the beach in like 10 minutes. And so with that, you just, by living on the coast, as I'm sure many people will know, you see the effects of erosion and plastic pollution and sea level rise very blatantly because it's in front of you. Especially if you are a surfer, you're very well aware of, if the ocean's dirty, how much that sucks, because one, you can't surf, but then also you're concerned about the effects on wildlife and also just plastic. Because if you're out surfing and there's a patch of plastic, that's extremely annoying. And then it's like, oh, well, I need to go and pick this up now. Or I'm also scuba certified. So I've gone scuba diving in a few places, and it's really disheartening to just be like, I'm here enjoying the fishes and oh my gosh, the reef is beautiful. And bam, there's all these like soda can, like what's it, like things that get stuck around seagulls' necks and everything wrapped around the reef. And now I have to go and I carry a mesh bag with me whenever I scuba dive so I can go and collect trash and everything. Cause it's just so in your face when you're either on the beach or if you're in the ocean or under the ocean, it's very in your face. And so I've always just had that awareness of, I guess that'd be more like environmental pollution impacts. And then once I got into college and started learning more about environmental justice, because I grew up in Southern California. And environmental justice wasn't really spoken about where I grew up. It was predominantly white, predominantly conservative, predominantly like wealthy, better off folk. But once I was in college and learned about environmental justice and how lower income communities are disproportionately affected by refineries or by the ports, or one of the big issues, you see Cancer Alley in Louisiana. And that was a devastating thing for me to learn about. Like just, once that door was opened, I just started, I guess you can say, doom scrolling, and was like, I need to learn as much as I possibly can about this because why, it's not fair. And so I just felt very angry And it's like, there's no reason for this to be going on the way it is, because there's no excuse for 3.6 billion people on the planet to be at the front lines of climate risk. And for those 3.6 billion people to be those that are people of color, lower income, and just more disadvantaged, as you see island nations, you see areas of Africa, you can even look at India or the floods that happen in China. There's zero good excuse for that type of disparity.
Kayla, we're about to wrap up now, and I just wanted to know if you had any particular message you'd like to share with our audience, something that is meaningful to you, or what steps can people take to join this movement and to become more aware, and maybe even in the gaming community? What would you have to say?
So for gamers that are interested in climate, I will absolutely plug Climate Replay. So you can go to climatereplay.org. So climatereplay.org. And you can go and join our Discord. We have an amazing interactive community. For those that don't know what Discord is, it is Skype, but better, significantly better. And there's chat rooms and for text chat and sharing memes of cats and all that stuff. It's a wonderful program. So you can join our Discord that's where the hub of our community is. And for those that aren't in the gaming community, but are interested in communications, or even those that just in general are wondering, where do I start? The most important thing that people can do is to talk about the climate crisis. And Dr. Catherine Hayhoe has a whole book on this titled Saving Us. And I recommend it to everyone that I meet now that asks me, what should I do? One, read her book, I guess would be the order. And then two, talk about it. Talk about the things that she mentions in her book. And the basic idea is that talking about climate change doesn't look like getting into fights with people who think differently than you, because that's not productive. It hurts your feelings, hurts their feelings, creates a bigger wedge. And it's just, it feels bad for everyone. And that will happen on occasion, especially if you're a climate communicator on the internet. But the beauty of the internet is that there's this thing called the block button. And I will shamelessly admit, if someone is just going to be a climate denier and attacking my character from day one in my comments, it gets deleted and they get blocked and I have no remorse. First impressions matter. So there's 1 billion monthly active users on TikTok. If like two people are in my comment section throwing a hissy fit, it's less than a drop in the bucket on the actual monthly active user base on TikTok. So that's my personal hot take there. But for regular people that just are wanting to talk climate, it's easier to talk with people that share similar interests to you and to speak on those values. So for example, since I grew up along the coast in Southern California and I surfed a lot, I treasure the ocean. It would be a lot easier for me to speak with fellow surfers or fellow coastal folk about issues related to the ocean, since I am super passionate about plastic pollution and just the ocean acidity crisis. And they would probably relate to that a lot better, since one, I'm already in their circle, and two, they're also seeing the effects in person. But say you don't live on the coast, maybe you've never even been to the ocean. And that was an eye-opening thing when my cousins came from Utah to visit and they have never been to the ocean before. It's like, what? How do you? Oh my gosh. So that was a whole mind-boggling thing one day. But say if you love snow activities, talking about the climate in relation to snowfall and how actually a lot of ski resorts have to make snow in order to have the ski resort be open now, because there's just not enough natural snowfall. And that is a climate issue. So you could speak to fellow snowboarders, fellow snowshoers or skiers or fellow snowman builders. If you love snow and you know other people that love snow, you could speak on those as well. And there's so many more examples in the book Saving Us. So absolutely suggest adding it to your bookshelf or to your Kindle, however you prefer to read. And I would argue that's, if you're going to read any book on climate right now, I would say that's the one to do it, because a lot of people aren't talking about climate. And as I always say on my TikTok, is that the more people that talk about it, the more people will understand. And the more people that understand, the more that can care. And if more people care, then we have more advocates and activists to speak on the issues and take action on the issues. And that's ultimately what we need. So That's what I got. And of course, like and subscribe, follow me on all of my channels, because I'm going to shamelessly self-plug myself because I'm from the internet. So.
You're welcome to do it. And Kayla, thank you so much for the work you're doing and the word you're spreading. We all appreciate it. You know, what Kayla represents to me is as a community we don't often think about, you know, the gaming industry. That's such a huge group of people, and the potential for real change is high if you can organize those people. And so I think for me, the lesson I take away from this episode is that these communities are everywhere, and it's up to all of us to talk about climate with each other, with people that we share interests with, and start taking action together.
It's like a switch. Where we have to turn, whether you're in the gaming industry or in any other industry, really, right? It's really time to turn that switch.
Yeah.
And that is, climate change is on, and let's just deal with the consequences. But we can choose between what kind of consequences we want to deal with.
Yeah, and we have a lot of power in the various aspects of our lives to bring people together. We just got to start talking about it a lot.
Otherwise, the world is going to be like Ready Player One.
Yeah, if it's not already.
We are an independent, listener-supported podcast.
For the price of one latte per month, you can help fuel our work and keep our content untainted by commercial interests.
For more exclusive content, join us on patreon.com or click donate on potofgold.world.
Thanks to our producer, Riley Paul. I'm Mel Wymore.
And I'm Stephanie Overbeck.
Thanks for listening.